Her research focuses on eliminating cardiometabolic disparities of diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease through intervention and epidemiologic research. Dr. Sinclair has adapted culturally and evaluated interventions and educational materials for diverse tribal groups, for African Americans and Latinos in Detroit, and for Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders in Hawaii. So please join me in welcoming her.
Good morning, and thank you all so much for coming in here so early in the morning to listen to our presentation. So I was at the University of Hawaii until a couple of months ago when I've moved to Seattle. So this is a project that we did in Hawaii. I have no relationships to disclose at this time. So first I'm just going to do a brief introduction, give you an overview of diabetes in Hawaii, and then I'll talk more about the development of the intervention and our outcomes. So the overall prevalence of type 2 diabetes in Hawaii in 2008 was 8.2%, comparable to that to the U.S. overall prevalence. However, there's considerable difference by ethnicity. Native Hawaiians have the highest prevalence of diagnosed diabetes with ranging from 19 to 22% for type 2 diabetes and from 16 to 35% for impaired glucose tolerance. Prevalence among Japanese Americans and whites in Hawaii is 7 and 3% respectively. Native Hawaiians are an average of 7 years younger when diagnosed with diabetes compared to whites and Japanese Americans. And Native Hawaiians also have the highest diabetes mortality rates compared to other major ethnic groups. And a prevalence of 75% of overweight and obesity among Native Hawaiians is a major contributing factor to the high prevalence of diabetes. Research shows that Native Hawaiians have the highest energy intake compared to other racial ethnic groups in Hawaii and engage in physical activity far less than whites. And while numerous diabetes self-management education interventions have proven efficacious in improving glycemic control, few Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders have been included in these studies. In fact, there's only been 2 self-management interventions conducted during the past 10 years in Hawaii, and neither of which were randomized control trials or followed up with randomized control trials. So the objective of Partners in Care intervention was to test the feasibility of an RCT and evaluate a culturally adapted, community-based diabetes self-management intervention versus a delayed intervention control group on clinical, behavioral, and quality of life outcomes in Native Hawaiians and Pacific people. So our eligibility criteria, so self-reported Native Hawaiian, Pacific Island, or Filipino ancestry, 18 years of age or older, 7 or higher A1C, physician diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, English speaking, and a resident or client and or client of the 3 participating communities that we work with. So the Partners in Care intervention that I'm going to describe is adapted from 3 previous interventions that I've worked on in different settings, and I'll just describe those briefly. The first developed was called Strong in Body and Spirit for Southwest American Indians between 1992 and 96, and the focus was just diet and exercise for American Indians with type 2 diabetes. The second was developed in 1997 to 99, and we called that Partners in Care, and it was based on follow-up from feedback from participants of Strong in Body and Spirit. So people wanted to know more about glucose numbers and A1C and what those mean and what they should do with those. They wanted to know more about their diabetes medications and possible side effects, prevention of diabetes-related complications, and also the relationship between stress, depression, and diabetes. Patient-provider communication, so how to better communicate with your provider, and also formation and interaction with your diabetes care team and who those people should be. Then the Strong in Body and Spirit and Partners in Care were updated and culturally adapted for African Americans and Latinos in a Reach Detroit project. And then in Hawaii, so in the Reach Detroit, the curricula were delivered consecutively. In New Mexico, these were delivered two separate groups of participants, not the same group. But in the REACH project, it was the same group of participants. And in Hawaii, we adapted the Strong Embodying Spirit in Partners in Care and combined the two curricula to make one curriculum called Partners in Care. So we still conducted focus groups to make sure that this is the information that people wanted to know. There are facilitators and barriers to diabetes self-management, how they'd like it delivered, the frequency and setting. It's informed by the, we follow the American Diabetes Association clinical guidelines throughout the curriculum. Social cognitive theory provided the theoretical framework. And the goal of the program is to provide information about diabetes, to give participants a better understanding of why glycemic control is so important and how to stay healthy with diabetes. The curriculum materials provide basic information about diabetes self-management, encourages participants to work with their diabetes team and ask questions when they have them, and emphasizes the ADA clinical guideline goals for blood glucose, A1C, blood pressure, and lipids. The materials are written in a conversational tone in plain English and are intended to be read as a script by the peer educators for purposes of fidelity to the intervention. The meetings were delivered by trained peer educators from the communities between March and May 2011, and this was the intervention group and then the delayed group after the assessment received the same intervention. There were 12 one-hour group meetings delivered in a community setting once a week. Our measures included standard demographics. The clinical assessment was A1C with a DCA 2000, the lipid panel with a cholestec, blood pressure, height, and weight. So in each community, the three communities that we worked in, we purchased the DCA 2000 and the cholestec, and the communities assessed participants in the community, and were also able to keep those for future assessments. Behavioral measures included dietary and physical activity behaviors. We used the items from the diabetes care profile to assess understanding of diabetes self-management, and the summary of diabetes care activities items to assess performance of self-management activities, and then the problem areas in diabetes instrument to measure diabetes-related distress. So our primary outcomes were A1C, understanding of diabetes self-management and performance of self-care activities, and secondary outcomes were lipids, blood pressure, and then the diabetes-related distress. This slide shows the participation in the study, so our recruitment, and it was an unbalanced randomized control study design. So we had 91 people, this was a pilot study, so we had 91 people and little money. 91 people were assessed for eligibility, 9 didn't meet the inclusion criteria, and 82 were randomized to the waitlist control group or the intervention group. And then they were followed up with, completed the same assessments again at 3 months after the intervention, and then the delayed group received the intervention. These are the baseline characteristics of the two groups, so our Partners in Care intervention group in the first column, and then the control group, and then the group differences. So we had a larger number of females, as is usually the case. Weren't any significant differences in age. There were significant differences between the groups in education and in down near the bottom, third from the bottom, the currently following a diet or meal plan. The clinical and behavioral baseline characteristics, there was only a difference between groups in the systolic blood pressure. So our intervention group had a lower systolic blood pressure, but as you can see, blood pressure is quite high in both groups, and A1C. And then our problem areas in diabetes, the diabetes care profile at the bottom, and summary of diabetes self-care attitudes. So I'm not sure if people are familiar with those measures, those instruments. But the problem areas in diabetes score is scored 0 to 100, with lower scores being better, so less diabetes-related distress. The diabetes care profile, which is understanding diabetes self-management activities, is 12 to 60, and with higher scores indicating higher understanding of diabetes self-management. And then the summary of diabetes self-care attitudes, is the range is 7 to 28, with higher scores indicating a higher frequency of engaging in diabetes self-management. So the problem areas in diabetes, you want lower scores, and the other two, you want higher scores. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, that for problem areas in diabetes, it was relatively low for both groups. These are the results. The next few slides are the results for our primary outcomes and for the problem areas in diabetes. So for A1C, we have the intention to treat and complete case analyses. And the results are based on analysis of covariance with a change score from baseline to the three-month assessment as the dependent variable. And we adjusted for the baseline value of the dependent variables, age, ethnicity, and baseline understanding of diabetes self-management. And these are the unadjusted means in the table within the intent to treat analysis. And we, with the missing data imputed by the baseline observation carried forward. And then we also have the complete case analysis shown in the table. So in both the intention to treat and the complete cases, we had significant improvements in A1C for the intervention group compared to the control group. So that was exciting. Yahoo, our primary outcome, significant improvement. For the diabetes care profile, understanding of diabetes self-management activities, we have the intention to treat again and the complete case analysis. And I'm sorry I didn't point out the effect sizes. But we had significant improvement in the intervention group in understanding compared to the control group with about moderate effect sizes. And then this is the performance of self-management activities. And again, significant improvements in the intervention group compared to the control group. And then finally, in the diabetes-related distress, and this is kind of interesting to look at by ethnicity. So we had, in the intention to treat, there was no significant difference in the change between the intervention and the control group. But in the complete case analysis, we had a 0.04, a P of 0.04. So there was a significant change. But what was interesting, we had, of this total sample, we had about 24 Micronesians. And their baseline and follow-up score for the paid was a mean of 3. So it was very, very low. And I'll talk about that in the limitations section. And the rest of the sample was about what you'd expect. So finally, our strengths and limitations. Our overall retention rate was fairly high, about 79%, but the attrition rate among younger individuals was higher. So, you know, this is a pilot study. It was only offered during certain times of the day, and so I think to reach younger people, we'll need to offer the classes during the weekends and maybe provide childcare if needed. So we'll need to find out about from younger people, you know, what it, and this is always the case in interventions too. It's usually younger people that drop out. And we had a small sample size, of course, and this was a pilot study. Our effect sizes were small to moderate. And as I said, there's no variability in the paid, the diabetes related distress for the Micronesian participants. And I don't know if that's had something to do with limited English among that sample, or maybe, they're a group that really don't like to complain, or maybe there really is no perceived distress. Diabetes-related distress. I'm not sure. So that's something for further examination. Strengths, we had a greater than 1% reduction in A1C. Our study replicates a previously successful diabetes self-management intervention conducted in different settings, populations, and during different time periods. And it's the first diabetes self-management intervention for Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders in Hawaii using a randomized controlled trial design. So our study demonstrated that an appropriately designed community-based program requiring little technology and few healthcare resources can have positive short-term effects by improving understanding, self-care behaviors, and glycemic control among Native Hawaiians and Pacific people with type 2 diabetes. An RCT was acceptable by the communities, you know, once trust and relationships established. And if significant improvement in A1C can be sustained, the Partners in Care intervention has the potential to substantially reduce microvascular complications, morbidity, and healthcare utilization costs. So future research efforts should be aimed at confirming, enhancing, and sustaining the effect of this type of intervention among populations where health disparities exist. Mahalo.
Thank you.
Thanks.